to the world leaders. 7 decades of history have passed through this hall in all of their richness and drama. Where I stand, the world has heard from presidents and premiers at the height of the Cold War. We have seen the foundation of nations. We have seen the ringleaders of revolution. We have beheld saints who inspired us with hope, rebels who stirred us with passion, and heroes who emboldened us with courage. All here to share plans, proposals, visions, and ideas on the world's biggest stage. Like those who met us before, our time is one of great contests, high stakes, and clear choices. The essential divide that runs all around the world and throughout history is once again thrown into stark relief. It is the divide between those whose thirst for control deludes them into thinking they are destined to rule over others, and those people and nations who want only to rule themselves. I have the immense privilege of addressing you today as the elected leader of a nation that prizes liberty, independence, and self-government above all. The United States, after having spent over $2.5 trillion since my election to completely rebuild our great military, is also by far the world's most powerful nation. Hopefully, it will never have to use this power. Americans know that in a world where others seek conquest and domination, our nation must be strong in wealth, in might, and in spirit. That is why the United States vigorously defends the traditions and customs that have made us who we are. Like my beloved country, each nation represented in this hall has a cherished history, culture, and heritage that is worth defending and celebrating, and which gives us our singular potential and strength. The free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them. Looking around and all over this large, magnificent planet, the truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique. It is why we in the United States have embarked on an exciting program of national renewal. In everything we do, we are focused on empowering the dreams and aspirations of our citizens. Thanks to our pro-growth economic policies, our domestic unemployment rate reached its lowest level in over half a century. Fueled by massive tax cuts and regulations cuts, jobs are being produced at a historic rate. 6 million Americans have been added to the employment rolls in under 3 years. Last month, African American, Hispanic American, and Asian American unemployment reached their lowest rates ever recorded. We are marshaling our nation's vast energy abundance, and the United States is now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world. Wages are rising, incomes are soaring, and 2.5 million Americans have been lifted out of poverty in less than 3 years. As we rebuild the unrivaled might of the American military, we are also...
Well, good evening, everybody. We're listening to President Trump speak to the United Nations just the other day. We'll let you enjoy the speech, and we'll start the call in just a minute.
Of the tremendous defense burden...
Or two.
...which the United States has borne in the past. At the center of our vision for national renewal is an ambitious campaign to reform international trade. For decades, the international trading system has been easily exploited by nations acting in very bad faith. As jobs were outsourced, a small handful grew wealthy at the expense of the middle class. In America, the result was 4.2 million lost manufacturing jobs and $15 trillion in trade deficits over the last quarter century. The United States is now taking that decisive action to end this grave economic injustice. Our goal is simple. We want balanced trade that is both fair and reciprocal. We have worked closely with our partners in Mexico and Canada to replace NAFTA with the brand new and hopefully bipartisan U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Tomorrow, I will join Prime Minister Abe of Japan to continue our progress in finalizing a terrific new trade deal. As the United Kingdom makes preparations to exit the European Union, I have made clear that we stand ready to complete an exceptional new trade agreement with the UK that will bring tremendous benefits to both of our countries. We are working closely with Prime Minister Boris Johnson on a magnificent new trade deal. The most important difference in America's new approach on trade concerns our relationship with China. In 2001, China was admitted to the World Trade Organization. Our leaders then argued that this decision would compel China to liberalize its economy and strengthen protections to provide things that were unacceptable to us and for private property and for the rule of law.
We'll give it another 30 seconds or so. Let a few more join us, and then we'll get the call started.
Not only has China declined to adopt promised reforms, it has embraced an economic model dependent on massive market barriers, heavy state subsidies, currency manipulation, product dumping, forced technology transfers, and the theft of intellectual property, and also trade secrets on a grand scale. It's just one example.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the prayersfor45.com call for Thursday night, September 26th. I'm your host, Scotty Sack. Greetings from Southern California. We're glad you can join us. Your first call or your 100th call, thank you for coming to pray with us tonight. Well, as usual, we will do our two prayers tonight. Our first prayer will be for President Trump, and our second prayer, we will do continuation of the reset of the rule of law, and we'll have a little brief discussion surrounding the current events, touch on Ukraine. First, let me bring in Ingrid, who will lead our first prayer tonight. Ingrid, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Scotty. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you again, folks. This is Ingrid. She has led prayers when One of our prayer leaders couldn't make it, so we're appreciative, Ingrid, and I'm going to give you the floor to lead our prayer for President Trump.
Thank you. Tell me, do I echo or do I sound okay?
You sound fine.
Okay. All right. Well, dear Lord, we come before you this evening to just thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for this man, President Trump, Donald Trump, who you have put in position. No one else put him there. You prepared him many, many years ago. You prepared his heart. You prepared his mind, even if he didn't know it. And even now, he is walking in your way, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for putting him in power. We ask, Lord God, that you continue to inspire him, that you blanket him with your blessings and with your grace and your mercy. And I especially thank you for how President Trump came across in his press conference from the UN. He came across as such a dear person. Someone you could sit down and really just listen to and talk with. He wasn't talking at us. He was presenting to us. He was talking to us as friends. Made me think of fireside chats, maybe that Franklin did a long time ago. So, Lord, I just thank you for how our president is more relaxed now, even though he is still battling, and he's in the thick of the battle. And Lord, you must have angels all around him. And I thank you that you have kept him safe from all the snares of the devil, all the evil and vile plans against him. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to protect him, protect his family, keep them all physically safe from all harm, Lord God. We just come before you and we thank you for what you have already done and how you've already blessed him. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to send wisdom, give him wisdom, Lord God, in dealing with these people who are so set on destroying him and destroying our country. Lord God, we ask that you foul the plans of the evil one, that you allow him to step in his own traps, and that you give our president the wisdom to speak the right words, to speak with the right people, to stay strong. Lord God, just enfold him in your grace. Enfold him in your strength and give him the power and the authority, Lord God, to speak on your behalf for your children as he spoke out for the Christians that are so persecuted around the world that no one talks about. The most persecuted people around the world are your children, the Christians. And so, Lord God, I just thank you that this president of ours has the gumption to stand up there and bring notice to it and to bring it out so that people hear. And, Lord God, I just ask that these words that our president speaks start falling on ears that become open and hearts that start to hear. And minds that draw away from the fake news and all the untruths and all the hate speech that is out there and that goes against this man. He is a man, but Lord God, you are empowering him, and through your power, he is strong. Lord, we just pray that he will continue in your strength, walking in your steps, delivering your message, and outwitting the enemy at every turn. We ask, Lord God, that you be with his advisors, that you show him who to listen to and who not to listen to. And we thank you, Lord God, for the protection and ask that you continue to do that. We also, Lord God, we ask that you continue to bless him and to pave the way for the second term, Lord God. Keep his mind straight. Keep his mind focused. Allow him to tune out all the hum of the distractions that just keep coming at him, Lord God. We lift him up, grateful and joyous for who he is, who you have put there, trusting in your plan, which he is delivering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Ingrid, thank you so much. You bring to mind, I feel like I'm the coach of a sports organization, and I'll use football since it's football season. There's a concept in all sports of next man up. When somebody gets injured or can't play, the good teams say the next man's up and we don't miss a beat. And that's what happened tonight. You stepped in and filled in for Kimberly, and just an awesome, awesome prayer. We didn't miss a beat. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Happy to help.
You know, you also struck a chord with me. As you were praying, you made me think of my father, because you talked about the president's gumption, and I was thinking, if my father was alive, being a United States Marine that he was, that raised me, he would have had probably a stronger word for his gumption. I think he'd call it big ones, kahunas,
yep.
Big ones, brass ones. and he would, not so much that I knew my father's politics, and I think I knew them to some extent. He was an independent and never trusted the government. But more than that, he would love this president because he's got a Marine mentality. He doesn't care.
Yep.
He is going to get in the ring. He's going to
yep.
throw punches. He's a fighter. He's not going to give
mm-hmm.
up. And I know this is why the military loves this man and picked this man. So thank you. You struck so many good chords. I appreciate it. Diane, I'm going to bring you in and want to have a quick discussion based on something we probably all get asked quite a bit. I'd imagine, if not quite a bit, if you haven't been asked, you may have asked yourself. We hear it in the media all the time. Why does the mainstream media, the left, the Democrats, the cabal, who we know who we're referring to, the anti-Trumpers, why do they hate him? And I have an employee who I try not to pay too much attention to my employees' politics, but one of them and I have had discussions. This particular employee happens to be my ex-wife, and we don't agree on politics, but I've asked her oftentimes, have you ever asked yourself why they hate Trump? And a year ago, she'd say things to me like, because he doesn't tweet nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Or how
yeah,
about
that's
he has
why they
orange
hate
hair?
Him. Yeah. He orange. Right. Orange man bad. Right. But you know, I've been trying to distill this down to a simple explanation why he's hated, and I am actually going to post the writings on our website. But it's really kind of a three-pronged approach. You know, when he got elected, they immediately began to destroy him. Chuck Schumer went on the Sunday talk shows and warned Trump, there's six ways from Sunday the intelligence agencies are going to get back at you. Well, they realized he's a hard man to destroy and he's unflappable, so intel agencies didn't scare him. So they moved on to talking about impeachment, of course, with the Russia, now the Ukraine. I don't even want to get in too far to the Ukraine. It's just a repeat of Russia. Pure projection of their own collusion. But, you know, they take it a step further in their hatred. They talk about assassination. And Kathy Griffin, very quickly after he was elected, she ruined her comedic career by posting that image of her holding a bloody Trump head like an ISIS. And
right.
It struck me, as I have a friend in theater who's reminded me, the director of the New York's most successful theater group was so proud of his idea that we're going to run Shakespeare's production of Julius Caesar, and we're going to have the title character be a Trump stand-in, and that's who we're going to assassinate at the end of the play. And this is a play, Julius Caesar, famous Shakespeare play that's played throughout the country. My friend reminded me that's in theater. This has gone around the country, this play, and they've substituted Caesar with Trump. So hate, you go beyond hate when you talk assassination. So why, what are the reasons for this? And I want to throw this out there, Diane, and get your input. First and foremost, he said it in his UN speech the other day. He said the world no longer does not belong to the globalists. It belongs to nationalists and to sovereign nations. And each nation, he said, has a heritage and culture worth preserving. And this flies in the face of the globalist system. Of course, we know they wanted a one-world government where unelected officials would have run the world. And so he's tearing down a globalist system and bringing it home and paying it off with his nationalism and sovereignty. Is that fair, Diane, would you say?
That's totally fair. And but if you bring it, for me, Scotty, if you boil it down to absolute brass tacks, why do people not understand? I think it has a lot to do with, A, he's not politically correct. Remember when he was first elected, they called him presidential. And I think he has said that have stunned America in many ways. I know that some of the tweets he sent out, some of the made on live TV, that the Mockingbird media repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats. It's a kind, brash, earthlike. I don't know that a quote president. One of the Bible that is the truth cuts like a knife. And so I think that's what is so programmed to listen to politicians that are politicians that do this speak that make us comfortable, and his doesn't always make us very comfortable.
Well, there's no question, Diane, what you just said would, I think you can bring that down to why it is an American, let's just call it an average American who's not on the Trump train, why they may hate him is for the exact reason you said. The hatred I'm speaking to is not from the average American who says, I don't like the way he talks, I don't like the way he tweets. I'm talking about the politicians who have run the world, the mainstream media who...
Wow.
Had their way.
Yeah.
You know, he's totally tearing down their system. I also believe you have to follow the money.
Yeah,
everything with them is money and power. And what he has done is he has set up a premise, first by withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord. At the very heart of their global system was the TPP, this Paris Climate Accord, that was nothing more than a carbon tax in which the United States would pay, we as taxpayers would pay trillions in over the years, trillions and trillions. And so we took away the globalist agenda's funding. That was how they were going to fund their one world government and globalist agenda. So, yeah, they don't like the way he speaks. But, man, when you take away my cash flow, that I'm not going to like you at
my
all.
My cash
right?
cow. Yes.
Yeah.
And
so,
and throughout.
And then I want to add one more reason. That they hate him, beside this idea that the future doesn't belong to them and he's destroying their cash flow and their money, and that is that Trump and the Patriots are not putting a Band-Aid on this thing, and they know it. This isn't a Band-Aid to cover up the wounds of a globalist system and to mask over it for the 4 years, or hopefully 8 years, that we believe he'll be president. That's not right. What this is about. What they're creating is a system for 100 years. This is a 100-year plan they have.
Right.
And when he talks about redoing trade deals, and he told the United Nations, hey, Boris and I have a trade deal already. Mm-hmm. As soon as Brexit's done, we're getting into our trade deal. This is not a deal the globalists would ever have done between the U.S. and the U.K. Their right. deals were all designed to move the money and the power out of our country and abroad to China and other nations. They certainly didn't have our best interests. So between tearing down a globalist system, taking away their money, and setting up a 100-year plan, this is the true existential threat and the reason they hate him. And
couldn't agree with you more. Yeah.
That said, Diane, it's time to parlay that as we put context around praying for the reset.
Well, and throughout the Bible, Scotty, God warns us about the danger of mixing up priorities. And God's word is very clear on the necessity of putting him first in all areas of our lives. And that actually is, we've talked many times about keeping our eyes on the Lord. But in the Old Testament, there's a book called the Book of Amos, very small book. He has incredibly harsh words for those who would take advantage of the poor, whose priorities are not aligned with him. He says the day will come when the people will long for the words of the Lord, which they ignored in their prosperity. And then another tiny little book called Ezra says, and whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the kind, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. And I think that plays exactly into what you're saying. These people are not only losing their cash cow, they're looking at banishment, confiscation of wealth, and imprisonment.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That is part of that existential threat. But he's tearing apart their globalist system, taking away their money, and he's going to put them in jail on top of it.
And he's going to, right, exactly. And so, what's fascinating to me is when you asked me to be part of this, and we started praying for the rule of law, and the Old Testament is really not been part of the Bible that I get excited about. It's hard to read, and it's got a lot of wars and a lot of kings and a lot of numbers, and it's just hard. But what's fascinating is that God lays down the judgment and the rule of law in the Old Testament when people, Adam and Eve, start multiplying, and there's a need for it. Right? There's a huge need for it. So this has been really educational to me and just I don't know, mind-boggling would be a word that comes to mind. Because of how much is there about what God's word about the rule of law. And I believe, Scotty, that the days have come when the poor will no longer be preyed upon, that the weak and the compromised will be strong, and that restoring the rule of law starts here with having a heart that knows the Lord. I believe that the people in the right positions in our government are there finally, and that those that aren't with a right heart are stepping down or getting relieved, and many of them will be prosecuted under that law that is defined and articulated so well in the Old Testament. So,
right on.
I'm excited about that. So I'll just pray. Father God, we just stand together in prayer for our president, for our country, for our fellow man. Let us hold the vision for a massive return of honoring you. Let us be calmed by your presence, that your chosen leaders were prepared for restoring the rule of law under your leadership, that the truth will once again cut like a knife, that the influencers and the responsible individuals for the scandals in pharma, in banking, in high tech, in churches around the world will continue to be exposed, that all those responsible for wrongdoings in Pedigate, Spygate, Russiagate, in the Mockingbird media, in the Clinton Foundation, Uranium One, election fraud, they will all be justly prosecuted for us to see. Not for our own self-adoration, Lord, not for their humiliation, but for a massive eye-opening event for all of humanity to be reminded that you are sovereign over all circumstances. You are the one in charge. Let us be ever so grateful for your work that 45 has embarked upon with the support of his wife, his vice president, the military, and all that have gone before him to compile the wrongs that are currently being made right. Let us rejoice in the fact that you are the creator, the orchestrator of all that is good. Let us keep our eyes on you. And in Jeremiah 24, and I will give them heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So, Lord God, we just thank you for every heart on this call, for their faithfulness in binding together to continue to pray for the restoration of the rule of law. We ask all of these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. Awesome, awesome prayer. You
so
went through a laundry list of who will be prosecuted, and you did it so correctly. And I have been making a laundry list of people who don't want to see those prosecutions. These are people I know who still support. They still support these people, more so they're anti-Trumpers, but in being anti-Trumpers, they support Hillary, and they still talk about, you know, Biden has been wronged in this Ukrainian thing, not Trump.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I've decided, because I have a whole list of people, and probably about six or seven of them, I lost track. I have a $1,000 bet for charity on the arrests. I have bet each one of these people $1,000, not for personal gain and not for theirs, for a charity, that these people will be arrested. And I've decided, rather than gloat and say I told you so, I've got an email all ready to go out, and it's just going to have an attachment. It's a song by Daniel Powder, "You Had a Bad Day." And it's going to be a bad day for a lot of people. That list, that's what I was thinking about when you went through that list of people being prosecuted.
Okay, remember what I said in the prayer, Scotty? Not for their humiliation.
Yes. Right. Not for that. You know, it's just going to be a bad day for a lot of people. That's all. We all have bad days, right?
Yeah. Bless your heart.
All right. Well, thank you, Ingrid and Diane. Two great prayers. You want to add to that anything, Diane?
No, I just have to say that I get, I think today during the hearing where the gentleman from the, help me, Scotty, the
DNI, McGuire from the DNI? Yeah.
Yes, where he was speaking. I think several of the gentlemen that were questioning him made it very clear that it is an embarrassment that he was being questioned with his history, his pedigree, his number of years of service to our country, that he was actually questioned onto whether he was telling the truth. You know, his integrity was questioned. And some of the people that were actually doing the questioning were embarrassed for him. And I think that really starting to understand that this is just an absolute, what's the word, shit show.
Abomination?
There you go. Thank you very much.
You know, when Adam Schiff, who is the greatest liar and leaker in the House, when he can look this man in the eye, 30-some years in the military, this man commanded large troops in battle and war, and Schiff yes. had the gall to look at this man and pummel him to try to trap yes. him into trapping Trump, and he wouldn't fall for it.
Embarrassing. So, I mean, I think Jerry, the American people are catching. I do.
Yes, and this is why Trump and this time Giuliani, they walked him right into the trap, didn't they? They walked him right to the trap, and they fell for it. So, yeah, it's as we pray for the reset each Sunday and Thursday, these are the days like today, these kinds of hearings that we see us getting closer and closer, and they just keep digging a bigger hole, and mm-hmm. Americans are indeed catching on to their game, and they don't like the game that's being played. And to that end, we've got a lot of gratitude for being on the right side of the spiritual war. So we'll close, as we always do, with our gratitude prayer. Unless, Diane, you've got anything further, I'm going to just wind us up here with the prayer.
Please do. Thank you so much.
All righty. Lord, we devoted ourselves to prayer tonight, being watchful and thankful, and in turn, you will show us the light at the end of the day, of this day and every day. Lord, we're grateful to be on our mission tonight, praying for President Trump. We're grateful he is our great leader, and he's focused on his mission and purpose as president in resetting the rule of law and bringing us our sovereignty. Lord, we're so thankful for that and for the blessings you have and will bestow upon our lives. You've provided us with more than we could ever have imagined. You've surrounded us with people who always look out for us and care for us. You've given us family and friends who bless us every day with kind words and with actions that support us. Lord, you lift us up in ways that keep our eyes focused on you and make our spirit soar. Lord, we're grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for our prayer leaders, Ingrid and Diane, and for Kimberly and Pastor Joseph and Betty. We're grateful for all the prayer warriors that joined us on our call tonight. Grateful for our special friends, Van and Kathy and William and Dennis and Kathy and Liz and Diane, all those that join us every Sunday and Thursday. Lord, let our roots grow down into you. Let our lives be built around you. Our faith will grow strong in the truth and will overflow with thankfulness. Lord, no matter what they throw at President Trump, we will not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. When we live in the power of God, we get stronger and all of our fears disappear. Lord, we're grateful for everything that you've given us. Thank you again so much for the loved one in our lives and for the many ways in which all of us on this call are cared for and supported. Lord, thank you from the bottom of our heart. Well, that wraps up our call for Thursday, everybody. Have a great night. Hang up the phone, give someone a hug, and we'll see you again on Sunday. Bye-bye now.